So in our gospel lesson today, we've skipped ahead quite significantly to Matthew chapter 14, and we usually hear these miracle stories separately, so it's interesting to hear them together today. When Jesus said what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the loaves, then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When the evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." So like I said, we generally, in our traditional lectionary, don't hear these two stories together, and I think that there's a lot to unpack just in each one, and it seems like one miracle story is really enough to grab our attention. And like I said, we're just used to hearing them separately. One of the articles that I read when I was preparing for this sermon actually started with the question, what does the feeding of the 5,000 have to do with walking on water? And there are definitely elements that tie these stories together, but as I worked throughout the week, I really found myself focusing on miracles in general. And one of the things that I kept thinking about is how we take pretty miraculous things for granted. Miracles are all around us all the time. But because so many of our miracles are just part of our everyday lives, we really don't often reflect on how truly miraculous they are. I read an interesting article that reminded me of this. The article said, "If a dead man is raised to life, everyone springs up in astonishment. Yet every day birth happens where there was no life at all. And we're just not as amazed by that. Yet it would seem plain to all that it is a greater thing for life to be created where there was no life than for a life to be restored where there had already been life. All marveled at the thought of water being turned into wine, yet every day the earth's moisture is drawn into the roots of the vine, grapes grow, are harvested, and brought into the wine press to become wine, and no one wonders at the miracle of it. 5,000 men and thousands of women and children were filled with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a wondrous miracle. Yet every day, seeds that were sown multiply, and grain becomes bread and feeds us all, and no one wonders. So I started to be more careful in observing everyday miracles. Simple things, like the fact that the sun comes up and the moon comes out. The earth spins on its axis, and we have a brand new day every 24 hours. The seasons change. Nature runs in its perfect cycles, and we don't have to do anything except appreciate that fact. And we have all of these cultures throughout the world. We all communicate, and we create customs, yet we have created different ways of speaking. We've created different eating preferences and creating creative expressions that make us unique. And we've created this amazing technology that we use daily. So you can speak into a little metallic thing and someone thousands of miles away can hear you. You can type on your keyboard and gain access to any information from anywhere in the world that you want. And think about music, how when we sing or when an instrument plays, that can bring us to tears or bring us to joy because it's so beautiful. And then I started thinking about living things. Plant seeds, they are so miraculous in and of themselves, and truly amazing things grow out of these plant seeds. It's truly a miracle that the soil and the sun and the moisture transform these dry little pods into colorful flowers or vegetables that we can eat, even into gigantic trees. It's absolutely incredible if you think about it, and it's hard to believe that a vibrant, living thing like a tomato plant or a giant sequoia tree can be brought to life out of a seemingly lifeless little seed. One of the miracles that I think is absolutely astonishing, I think it's something for us to marvel at every day, and yet I think we take it for granted, is the fact that we're even here. Just the fact that you are alive is an absolute miracle. Of all of the possible gene combinations that are out there, millions of them, literally, you came out the way that you are. The timing was just right. You have the right number of chromosomes. Your mother was able to carry you and nurture you for 9 months. And all of those conditions had to be just right for you to be born. Being you, being alive, is truly a miracle. And consider how your body works. Your heart beats, your lungs expand, your eyes blink, your skin, it regenerates, and your blood pumps throughout your body. You inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. And just think about all that your body does. It's truly miraculous. It's something I think we should marvel about all of the time. Consider this. At the center of the human cardiovascular system is your heart. The human heart is a muscular organ that's a bioengineering marvel. It works 24/7 without you having to think about it throughout your lifetime. It delivers blood. In itself, blood is truly a miraculous substance, but it delivers that to all parts of your body through a vast network of arteries and veins. And if you laid out all of those blood vessels, your arteries, your veins, and your capillaries end to end, the total length would be 60,000 miles. That just blows me away. the human body needs to take in food and water found in our environment, and through a miraculous sequence of mechanical and chemical processes, it converts that food into nutrients that sustain all of our body's activities. Breathing brings oxygen found in the air that we live in into a unique set of organs called the lungs. And deep inside those lungs, that oxygen is transferred into the bloodstream and is used to power all of our muscles, including the muscles that allow us to breathe. And there are more than 300 million tiny little blood vessels just in your lungs alone. And if we stretched those out tip to tip, they would be approximately the distance from Atlanta, Georgia to Los Angeles. To top this all off, many people consider that the human brain is the greatest wonder of all creation. That little organ that weighs about 3 pounds contains more nerve cells than there are people on the planet, an unimaginable number. And each nerve cell is joined to others by hundreds of little offshoots. And the exchange of information between them is faster than the telephone systems of our great cities. The number of connections in one brain exceeds the number of stars in our galaxy, more than a trillion. No computer or telephone system is in such a position to store and exchange so much information in such a small space as our human brain. And think about our process of communication. The meaning of the words that is fed into the speech center of the brain. So the sentence that I am speaking right now can be compared with all of this information that's already stored in your brain. The reservoir is gigantic. It holds tens of thousands of words, and that includes all of the nuances or different meanings of those words. And there's more. Many words and sentences bring out feelings, whether positive or negative, within us. And often pictures which have been impressed upon us come out when we use words to communicate. Such a colossal amount of information is bound up in every single word that we speak, and it's recalled in a fraction of a second each time it occurs. So the description of an apparently pretty commonplace task performed by our brain leads into the miracle of information handling, memory consciousness, and beyond into that miracle organ that we call the brain. Even the well-known brain researcher and Nobel Peace Prize winner John Eccles recognizes we are only on the brink of understanding the mystery that we are. And even with that little bit of information, it's enough to fill whole libraries. Certainly, it's a wondrous miracle that 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed thousands and thousands of people. We can't explain it. And that Jesus walks on a lake in only the way that a Minnesota ice fisherman in the middle of winter should. But if we consider that Jesus is God with us, and it's this same God who created the universe and people with all of their miraculous complexities, perhaps a walk on a stormy sea and feeding thousands of people from a little bit of food wasn't that big of a deal for him. Perhaps as we look at these gospel miracles, the thing that should astound us is that the bread and the lake with the fish in it existed in the first place, and that all of the extraordinary acts of God that brings seeds to grow into a plant yielding grain, and grain being ground into flour, and mixed with other ingredients to make bread that can somehow miraculously nourish our amazing bodies is incredible. And what an extremely outstanding thing that God should cause creatures to flourish in our lakes and even become another source of food. Maybe the miracle in the text is that the power of God would be revealed to all these people who showed up. Perhaps another miracle of this text is that even with all that Jesus was dealing with, right before this story, he found out that John the Baptist had been killed, yet he's still able to have compassion for all of these people who came to them. He heals them, and he feeds them. But the disciples come to Jesus thinking they need to send the crowds away to the town to find their own food. But Jesus replies, "You feed them." And that also is a miracle, that Jesus invites the disciples to be part of his work. And he invites us as well to feed the hungry. And like Peter, he bids us to come and walk on water. And when we aren't sure if we can do it, he says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And when we don't know what to do, when we don't think we have anything to offer or enough faith, when we just want to send folks away, or when we want to stay in our own little boat in the middle of our storms, our God comes to bless the gifts that we bring, or comes to keep us from sinking. And with God's blessing, miracles happen. Just look in the mirror and be astounded.